Hello, everyone. Hopefully, everyone can hear me here today. This is Deacon Holmes coming to you this Thursday night to go over our Sunday school or our enrichment studies as we'll be covering the book of St. John, chapter 7. St. John, chapter 7. So we open up with a brief prayer, and then we will proceed. Oh, Father, we come to you right now, as humble as we know how, thanking you, Lord God, for all you've done for us, thanking you for your grace, thanking you for your mercy. Thanking you, Lord God, for bringing us throughout the day. Thanking you, Lord God, for the yearning to learn your word, and not only be hearers of your word, but doers of your holy word. I ask you to be with me, Lord God, as I go forth and try to break down this lesson. We ask you, Lord God, to bless the attendees, Lord God, that they may get understanding of this lesson. We ask you to go our pastor and his family and our whole congregation. We ask you to forgive us of our sins and our transgressions and those who sin against us. We ask you, Lord God, in the precious name of Jesus, amen. Amen. So where are we coming from? Again, we're talking about Chapter 7, here in St. John, chapter 7. So what I'm going to do here is give you somewhat of a brief introduction of this particular passage of information that we have here. And then we will go and talk about a little bit of the actual verses that we have here as well. Now, this particular chapter here, where John is supposedly the author of this particular chapter, and we're talking about here the Feast of the Tabernacle, which is going to be before the Feast of the actual Passover. And this chapter, Jesus is going up to the temple. He is over in Galilee. He's going up to the temple for the Feast of Tabernacles, and he begins to teach them. All the ones that are there, the Pharisees are also in company there along with some of the disciples. And most of them, they were pretty much astonished at what was going on. They had heard about a lot of the miracles that Jesus had performed along the way. And a lot of them, as you'll notice in here, a lot of those Pharisees who were sent there to try to trap Jesus, they couldn't understand why Jesus had so much knowledge. But he hadn't had any teachings by the rabbis and priests of that nature to be speaking there in that way. And so they were astonished by all of that. But Jesus gave credit to God. Then he addressed the crowd. He asked them, as you keep going down there, you know, why so many people are trying to kill him when he's not one of them, he's one of them that's without sin. And then the crowd, as you know, they're in there, they're thinking that because of all the miracles that he had performed, some thought that he was demon-possessed, but some of them believed. And so Jesus kind of asked back and said that the miracles came from the Father. And as you'll notice, in as we go through here, most of the props that he gives it to his Father. You know, it's working it through him. He also tells them the reason that they're doing all of this because they didn't have a place in their heart for the Father. Then he went in talking about a little bit about the Sabbath. As you know, the Pharisees were always talking about honor the Sabbath and keep it holy, but only when it, you know, played in tune to what they were trying to do. The same thing they did on the Sabbath, the certain little trickeries they did, circumcision, and, you know, things of that sort, you know, and Jesus brought that right back up to them. That they were willing to make exceptions, you know, to work on the Sabbath. But they're saying that the healing that he had done on the Sabbath was wrong, as you remember the man that he had healed by the pool. But Jesus, you know, he's pretty straightforward sometimes in his logic. It don't sit pretty well with us sometimes, and it definitely didn't sit well with a lot of those people that were in attendance there. So they kept on with their accusation about him not being formally educated and things of that sort. But Jesus went on, and they were wanting him to go into this, to the feast upstairs, as well as the other disciples and all were trying to get him to do. But Jesus was letting them know it wasn't time for him to go up there yet. So timing is everything, as we'll see as we proceed further in our lesson. Jesus also keeps talking about the fact that he will soon go somewhere that they won't be able to find him, and they won't even be able to go. And we go a little bit deeper into that as well. And again, he starts talking about this living water that I had spoken about earlier, a couple few chapters back, this living water, which they had that, you know, it, how it would just, you know, quench your thirst if you just had a little bit of that living water. So that's, and then after that end, you know, Nicodemus comes back into the fold. You remember Nicodemus was saying, how can you be born again without, you know, unless you go back into your mother's womb again? Because he didn't have a good understanding of what Jesus was talking about in being born again. So this is another time that Nicodemus, who's also part of the Sanhedrin here, is one of the people who actually believed, but he really couldn't stand up for it because of all the other leaders there. And the ones who were actually decision makers, as we'll see, they had already had it in their mind that they're going to vote against Jesus and they're going to have him arrested and killed. So Nicodemus, and after, at the end of that, then speaking with Nicodemus, and all this was over, they all departed and went their ways. So that's pretty much a summary of what we're going to talk about here as we kind of walk through a little bit here of chapter 7 in here. Now, I'm just going to talk a little bit here. Just if you go to verse 2, and it said, now the feast of the Jews, the feast of the tabernacles, was at hand. It was time for it. You know, the tabernacle, the feast of the tabernacles, was like a festival that they were having in commemoration of the time that they had spent, you know, out there in the wilderness. You know, they've been out in that wilderness for a long time. So this is kind of like it commemorates that wilderness experience, you know, that they had. As we go a little bit further, it says, get down. And so they got down to Jerusalem to perform some of those miracles to encourage the people down there who believe in you. That's what they were trying to tell Jesus to do. So it appears that those actual disciples, some of the followers sometimes, they didn't really believe that he was really the Christ. So they was kind of talking some of that stuff that Satan said. You know, Satan always tried to tempt you to do certain things. And that seemed to be the slant that they were coming from. They said, you going down to Jerusalem? And Jesus didn't want to go to Jerusalem because he knew it was a trap set down there if he went to Jerusalem. So he wanted to stay there in Galilee. And he was going to go there, but he's going to go his own time. Because our time and Jesus' time is totally different. The timing is everything, as we'll see as we proceed a little bit in these verses here. Because they also saying, if you go to verse 4, that no man doeth anything in secret, and himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou doest these things, manifest thyself to the world. But even his brethren did not believe on him. Just like as I said, a lot of times people that are with you don't even believe in you. They'll fake it out like they're going along with you, but they really don't believe in what you're doing a lot of the time. And that's what his followers were doing here. You know, they didn't truly have that belief, so they wanted him to go down there to a place that was dangerous and perform some miracles to try to prove to the people that he was Jesus. So if you're this great Jesus thing, why are you trying to hold it in secret? You know, go out there and let people know who you are. But Jesus, again, knowing that timing is everything, because he said in the next verse 6 here that my time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. Jesus' time hadn't come, but their time was always ready. The people there knew who they were. It wasn't time for Jesus to go there. The Passover hadn't even happened yet. So time is everything. He can't go up there to the Feast of the Tabernacle when what he's supposed to have been doing to have that happen was at the Passover. Passover and the Tabernacle cannot happen at the same time. Now, if you go into verse 7, when he said the world cannot hate you, but me it hated, because I testify of it that his works are evil. Jesus, his brothers, those friends, those disciples, everyone that was with him, they knew very well of the feast. They knew the people knew who they were. A lot of them didn't make their beliefs known, but they knew Jesus was talking about this resurrection. There's going to be another king. He's going to come. He's going to die. He's going to be risen again. They were aware. Jesus made them aware that that was his belief. But a lot of his followers didn't do that. And so Jesus letting them know that they know of you. They don't know that you believe in me or believe anything about me, but they know my belief. Again, timing is everything. So if we go into verse 10 here, we know that Jesus may not come when you want it, but he's always on time. Because he didn't go when they were trying to get him, remember, to go up there to that Feast of the Tabernacle with them. And Jesus said he wasn't coming. He meant that he wasn't coming at that time. He was going to come in his own time. So when it was almost over, Jesus went up there secretly. He was watching them from afar. He went up there secretly. So he didn't want to do it, you know, in public. Again, because Jesus does things on his own time. But the believers, they believed a little bit in Jesus, but they were fearful. But they had bad leaders. That was verse 10. It's all about as well. As you see, the priests, you know, a lot of people there from the Sanhedrin, those people knew the word. The Pharisees, they knew the word, but they were going by the actual word of the word, not the spirit of the word. And so bad leaders sometimes can lead you in the wrong direction. We see a lot of that going on right here today. Bad leadership got us in a whole confused situation right now. And it could be a lot of the churches, as you're seeing bad leadership is being exposed. And people are not knowing what to do as far as when to come back inside of the church and when not to. Some come a little bit earlier, not knowing everything. And then you have a lot of traumatic things going on, where they're contracting just disease, the pandemic that we have going on right now. So you have to be careful when you're in leadership, and you got to be careful of the leaders that you follow. And that's what's showing right here in this actual scripture that we're reading here. Because there were some people who loved Jesus, and there were some people who hated Jesus. But as it said in the scripture, we look here in verse 12, there was much murmuring among the multitude concerning him. Concerning Jesus. Some said he was a good man. Others said not so, but he leadeth the multitude astray. Yet no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews, for fear of the Pharisees. So a lot of times people hold back. They won't say, they won't be there to defend you when you need to be defended. Now behind your back, they can say some things. Behind the leaders or the crowd, they'll say some different things. But when they are monks, when the time is really time to stand up for what's right, when it's time to stand up what is spiritual, when it's time to stand up for people who are in some type of distress, where are you then? A lot of us, again, is going on right now today when it's time to stand. You know, people are not standing. A lot of people, you're just on the sideline, you're watching. And some of us, you may be confused as to what to do. We just need to pray to God and say, what direction should I take? And that's what his followers here should have done. They should have been praying, what direction should I take here, Lord? I believe in you, but a lot of these don't. If I step forward, there's going to be some harm that's going to come toward me. And the Pharisees had fear in these people's hearts. So in a sense, when you look at that Sanhedrin, Satan had taken control of the government there in that holy city. Satan has taken control. And it appears a lot of time in our lives here today, a lot of time it feels like Satan has taken control. And it's taking control of certain people's lives. Not saying that Satan is taking control of your life. But if you look around and you see some crazy things going on, And you have the one, has Satan taken control of that particular function there, has that particular organization, that particular person or group? And it appears here that that has happened there in the Sanhedrin, because some of them in the Sanhedrin, in which Nicodemus was part of it. Well, Nicodemus, again, had already confronted Jesus. He had already came to know Jesus and believed in it. And I'm sure some other people on that Sanhedrin believed in him as well. But again, the group that was really the decision-making body had already made the decision. So that's where Satan had taken control of them. And we had talked about how they were marveling at how Jesus spoke, the knowledge to speak Jesus had about the word and how it should be dispensed. If you look here in verse 15, where it's saying the Jews therefore marvel, saying, "He knoweth, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" How did he know about this word? How do you know about, you know, these spiritual meanings? How does he know how we're supposed to live? A lot of times, those are the same questions we'll ask about pastors, preachers, deacons, teachers, you know, teachers of the word. How do they know that? How do they get that particular understanding? How do they get that particular discernment? It comes through prayer and asking God for an understanding. Because if you stay in that word long enough and you really want to know, you put yourself out there. God will make a way for you. You know, so God will make a way. And that's what Jesus is saying here. It's not him. He's coming there. It's the man who sent him. He's speaking through him. We are only just an instrument, you know. So when they saw Jesus, the source of his knowledge was unknown. Because they know he hadn't trained with any rabbi, any priest. So the source of his knowledge was unknown. But Jesus uncovered that source and told them and identified to them where his knowledge came from. It came from God. And he was just a deliverer. He was just a tool that God was using at that time. And that infuriated those leaders there. And as you realize here that with the Pharisees, all of this was just, as we've been studying even in the other lessons, all of this can't stem down from leadership, because they didn't want to give up their power. Because when Jesus comes on the scene, a Messiah comes on there, and it's not the type that they want, that means that some of the things that they're saying was not right. Okay? So it's taking some of the power away from them. So a lot of these leaders are mad, because this guy knows all of this, but he hasn't studied under them. And he's not looking the way they thought he should look. You know, a lot of them even thinking that he was from Galilee, although he lived in Galilee at that point, where that Cabrera Bethlehem. But they always, you know, they always say, "Hey, can anything good, you know, come out of Galilee, or anything good come out of Galilee? Has any prophet come out of Galilee?" Those type questions. People always start to look at where you come from, thinking that, because maybe there's not a large amount of goodness coming out of a certain place. Or it might not be a person that has any large amount of stature that come out of a particular city or county. And so all of a sudden, here rises a spiritual leader. And sometimes it doesn't have to be a spiritual leader, but some leader come out of there, and they feel that nothing good could come out of that area. But good can come from bad. A lot of the time you see a lot of the people that Jesus selected to dispense his word, they weren't a lot of times people who had a high stature. Jesus can use anyone to put his word out there. So we got to be careful, and we're looking at where people came from and compared to where they are now. But thank God that they're able to get out of there. That should let you know that God has the power to do anything. So when you get started in studying God's word, this should be a key to us today. And we just get that little seed. Let's plant those little seeds here and use whatever little bit of knowledge or belief that we have. God will pour out the rest. God will nurture that. If you just making that step, and say he'll make two. You make one step, you make two. But you got to make an effort in studying God's word. You got to make an effort in praying so you won't have that fear of praying in front of people. You know, you got to get off of just, you know, being fearful. You got to come bold before the throne of Christ. God wants the best from us, but we got to do our part as well. Okay? Because, you know, this faith is an action. It's a verb. It's an action. So you got to do something. So we're here to try to be a vessel. We're here to be workers in the vineyard. And we see that's what's happening here in this particular verse. They also went back talking about Moses. You look at verse 19. Did not Moses give you the law? It's what Jesus is telling them here. And yet none of you do with the law. But now you're seeking to kill me. Why do they want to kill Jesus? Moses gave them a law. They weren't trying to kill Moses. But all of a sudden Jesus comes. And they want to try to kill him because, you know, because Moses was doing some things at that particular point in time, you know, because he had spoken to them about circumcision, but it had nothing to do with the spiritual end of it. It was all through tradition. And so they gave that less of a concern than what they're giving here with Jesus when they're talking about this Sabbath. Because, you know, the Pharisees were all staunch and really strict when it came down to trying to do things on the Sabbath. They always hung to the Sabbath thing through a lot of your readings from those Pharisees. But they always figured out a way of getting done what they wanted to do on the Sabbath. And it's just like us. We can pick out certain lines of text from a scripture and make it fit whatever situation that we're in that we want to feel good about ourselves about and puff things up about. But that's not even the context of that particular scripture. And that's what Jesus was trying to get over to them, to the Pharisees, in terms of the Sabbath. It's all about the spirit of the law, not the particular words of the law. So we must keep that in fact when we're doing things. Why are we doing what we're doing? Is it through tradition? Are we just trying to make ourselves look good, you know, to someone else? But we know we're doing dirt on the other side. So we must be careful in how we do a certain things when it comes to the word of God. And then you look in verse 25. Some, therefore, of them, of Jerusalem, said, "Is not this he whom they seek to kill? And lo, he speaketh openly, and they say nothing to him. Can it be that the rulers indeed know that this is the Christ?" So they're thinking here that now the Pharisees, or the rulers, the Sanhedrin, all of them, they must know this is Christ. Because here he is, and they have sent men down there to Galilee to actually get Jesus, to pick him up. They knew he was there. But they didn't get him at that point in time because the timing wasn't right. As Jesus would say, his time had not yet come. And so timing is everything. So they still questioning this. Why have y'all not picked up this guy? Why you haven't arrested this guy? Why you haven't taken him to the cross already? And that's what happened with a lot of things going on today. A lot of times people want to do you bad, and they're wondering, you know, people are talking against him, but he's still doing God's work. Why we can't stop him? You know, a lot of things, when Jesus' work is to be done, it's going to be done. It may seem a little difficult from the outside, and you will wonder, why is this person going through this? A lot of us wonder why Martin Luther King was going through what he was going through, how he continued on, because he was human just like we were. But he kept going on because that was what God had placed for him to do. That was his purpose here on this earth. And so we as Christians, we have a purpose down here as well. We must stand strong on that particular purpose. We're going to go down a little bit further because we have a lot of verses here. I'm trying to just touch upon a few of them that stands out. You look in the verse 30. They sought therefore to take him, and no man laid his hand on him, because his hour was not yet come. So that's the scripture for it right there. His hour was not yet come. because they had men there to get him. They could get him if they wanted. A lot of times you are out there, and if it was up to man, you could be stopped on a dime. You know, but God would put a hedge around us. You hear what I'm saying? A lot of times, God a lot of times will build a hedge around us long enough for us to get the job done that he wants us to do. So there will be no hindrance in there when that time comes, because Jesus don't want us to hinder anyone else. Because if you look in verse 31, the multitude, many believed on him, and they said, when the Christ shall come, will he do more signs than those which this man do it? So still, they didn't believe that this was the Christ. So they had seen all of the miracles that Jesus had performed. So now they're asking that when the real Christ, when the real Messiah, the real Savior, when he comes, is he going to do more signs? Is he going to do more miracles than what this guy has done? So they not only rejected the Lord for themselves, and these are leaders here now, but they were the principal cause of a nation's failure to receive him. A lot of those people in that nation or in that area there did not receive Christ because of the hindrance of spiritual leaders. And a lot of times that's because they want you to believe in them. They are the God they want you to know. They are the God that they want you to see and to follow. And that's a hindrance. And God does not like that for people to stand in way of his people. And you will suffer dearly for that. And sometimes we'll look at it and say, why aren't they suffering now? Seems like they're flourishing. You know, they're prospering, I mean. You know, they got lots of cars, got fine homes. They're flying, some of them on private jets and things of that sort. But God's wrath is going to come, whether it comes here or it comes on the other side. And plus, a lot of times, we don't know what's going on in that person's mind. They could be mentally disturbed. It's bothering them on the inside. But what keeps them going is that silver and gold that they have before them. So don't hinder anyone that's trying to do God's work. Verse 34. I think that's a great verse here. It says, ye shall seek me and not find me. And where I am, ye cannot come. I had to read that over and over again, you know, to get a full understanding on here. Because sometimes you can get that confused. God said, from where I am, I'm going to a place where I am that you may be there also. He's going to prepare a place. But here, when God told them, he said, ye shall seek me and not find me. And where I am, ye shall not come. What God is saying here is that a lot of these people do not believe in him. They don't believe in it. So if you don't believe in him, you're not going to find him. You got to believe that God is who he say he is. And if you don't do that, you're not going to find him. And we have to believe in God or in Jesus in order to get to God. Okay? Because they all are one. And what God is saying here, the only way you're going to get to me is through Jesus. He is our intercessor. So I had to pray hard and read hard and study hard to get that particular discernment on what was meant by this verse. It seems short here, and it can send you in a lot of different directions. But it says, where I am. But you got to look at now, Jesus was right there with them at that time. So that threw you off there a bit. Said, where I am. But what he's saying that, you won't find me, but it goes into another place after you shall not find me for where he's going to be, where he shall be. He's going to be in heaven. That's what this is all about. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, if you don't believe in him, you would never find him if you don't believe him. He can be right there in front of you, and you don't see him. That means you can't find him because you don't see him in his glory for what he is. And if that's the case, you will not be what he is, which is in heaven. That's where he shall be, and you can't get there because you got to go through Jesus to get there. So I think that's a key. So I would say read that for yourself. Pray on that. Turn on that and see if you can get that understanding of that line. And I think that's one of the key verses that we have in this whole chapter that we have right here. And then we have the promise. I feel that this is the promise right here. In verse 38, he said, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, from within him shall flow those rivers of living water." Again, we got those rivers of living water. And if you believe in him, and you read and you repent, because that's what it said, as the scripture has said. I mean, you got to do what's in there. And the scripture said you got to repent. You got to turn from your wicked ways. Then you should hear from him, and you'll be saved. He's saying here, and from within him shall flow rivers of water. That's when you will receive the Holy Spirit. That living water, that which is the Holy Spirit, will flow through you once you believe on him. So why could he just give him the Holy Spirit right then? That's a great question. Why couldn't he give him the Holy Spirit right then? He was right there. And some of them that believed on him, they were standing right there. But why couldn't they receive the Holy Spirit? That's because God had not yet been glorified. He still had to go to the cross. He still had to die. He still had to rise again. And then he walked on earth a few, days or whatever after then, as proof to the disciples as well that he was the one that was on that cross, and he's the one that died and got up just like he said he would. So Jesus had not been glorified yet. So they had to wait to receive that spirit. That's what he said here, that you shall, the flowing rivers of living water shall flow. And so the fulfillment of his purpose was when he's going to be glorified. So the time just had not come yet. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him because the time had not come. So we must come with boldness, and we must come with carefulness anytime we're going against the enemy or we're confronting other faiths. You just can't show up there weak when you're going up against other faiths. So you got to be careful in what you do, and you got to be bold in what you say. And I just got one more here. I know we're tight on the time here right now. But Nicodemus, again, it's back on the scene that you see here in that verse there. Nicodemus said unto them, "He that came to him before, being one of them, doth all the law judge a man, except it first hear from himself and know what he doeth." So not all the Sanhedrins were evil men, is what Nicodemus is saying here. Not all of them were evil men. They were spiritual men, a lot of them, or men of some type of faith. They were spiritual leaders. But some of them didn't want to give up their reign of leadership. And so those were the actual decision makers, had them a little cute. And so Jesus was going to be destroyed before they were concerned. Satan had already taken charge of that particular hierarchy. It was just too late to reverse at that particular point in time. They had the purpose of murder in their heart. They already knew that what they were going to do and what they had planned for Jesus. So keep that in mind. And I saw as I was going through the lesson there, they want to know the doctrine in that, which is the baptism, is the doctrine that they had in this particular chapter when they're talking about the waters. So hopefully that give you a better understanding of John chapter 7 when Jesus was there at the Feast of the Tabernacles, because they all wanted some place to worship. And so Moses had them build tabernacles there so they can, have a what they call like a physical thing to look at to worship. But so they were just at this Feast of the Tabernacle, they were just commemorating the time that they spent at those tabernacles out there in the wilderness. So hopefully this will be a good word for you. But continue to pray, continue to read, continue to study, and stay a part of the studies and stay a part of God's word that we have here. And as I had stated earlier, please go to verse 34 and study that verse and see what meaning comes to you out of that line of scripture. May God bless you. May God keep you. It's my prayer. Have a good day.